Good morning, friends. Great to see you again. Let's pray and ask God for his help. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've given us your word. And we pray now that you will still our hearts. Please give us ears to hear. Please soften up our hearts to receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there's a big difference between just hearing something and really listening, isn't there? My wife Zoe tells me that she gets very frustrated when she's trying to talk to me, but I'm not really listening. I'm distracted by my phone or thinking about something else. I can hear the words, but I'm not really listening. And so even though she's told me for the 100th time that the bins need to go out tonight, I wake up to the sound of the garbage truck in the morning, and there I am in my pajamas rushing out, taking out the bins. Now that's just a small thing, isn't it? But sometimes our listening can really cost us. So for example, if you're going for a job interview and you mishear the time you're supposed to be there, you might get there late and you might miss out on the job. If you're in class and the lecturer says something like, "So for this exam and the next assessment, what you need to prepare is the following," and you missed it because you were chatting away with a friend or updating your status on Facebook, well, it just might cost you. But you know what? Even worse than this, not hearing properly, not listening can mean life or death. I mean, just imagine being on the plane and hearing the hostess lady explain what to do in an emergency. I can sit there and just hear the words, but not really listen. And then if an emergency happened and I don't know what to do, I don't know where the exits are or how to get out of the plane or how to put the oxygen mask on, well, that just might cost me my life or others around me. But even important is this, even more important is this. In today's passage, Jesus says, if we don't listen properly, if we haven't got ears to hear, well, that it might actually keep us out of his kingdom, which is why we need to pay careful attention today. And so, Reservoir Presbyterian, are you listening? Well, as we continue in Mark's gospel, Jesus is preaching away to the crowds. The crowds are so big now that he's on a boat in the lake, and he's teaching them with parables. Now, it's important to understand what a parable is. It's not an earthly story that has a heavenly meaning. It's not Jesus explaining a simple story with a moral behind it. No, parables are more like riddles about God's kingdom. So Jesus is telling people a riddle. And the first one is about the sower and the soils. Now, I know this is a very familiar story. We've probably heard it a dozen of times, but let me retell it for you. Jesus says, "Listen up, listen carefully. There's a farmer who goes out to sow his seed." And so verse 4, he's scattering the seed, some fall on along the path, but as soon as it hits the dirt, the birds come and eat it up. Some fall on rocky places where there's not much soil, and it just springs up quickly, but then the sun scorches the plants, and they wither because there's no root. Some fall among thorns, which grow but choke the plants so that they don't bear any grain. And finally, some good news, because this is the only fruitful soil. Some fall on good soil, which grows and produces a crop, multiplying 60 or even 100 times. And that's the end of the riddle. That's the parable. But notice what Jesus says in verse 9. "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." He's calling out to the crowds, are you listening? Are you really listening? Is there anyone out there who wants to hear this stuff? Or your heart's just going to stay hard? Is it just going to go in one ear and out the next? Who's really hungry to listen? Notice that from verses 10 to 12, the crowds slip away and it's just Jesus with the apostles and some others around. Here are the ones who are hungry to listen. Here are the ones who've got ears to hear. You know, we're so familiar with this parable, But can you imagine hearing it for the first time? Imagine being those apostles there. What's Jesus going on about here about the seed and the soils? Why is he talking in parables, in riddles? I mean, why is Jesus making it harder for people to understand and not easier? I mean, isn't he trying to get more people into his kingdom? It just seems strange, doesn't it? Surely Jesus would make things easier, not harder. And it seems like that's what the disciples are thinking in their heads as well. They ask him about this in verse 10. Have a look with me at Mark chapter 4 and verse 10. When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. Now notice what Jesus says to them. He told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that, and here's a quote from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, they may be ever seeing, but never perceiving, and ever hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. Now, what's going on here? Is Jesus saying what we really think he's saying? That he's teaching in parables to keep people outside his kingdom? Well, he is. Because what Jesus wants is people who are going to listen properly, who've got ears to hear. Not just hear the words and let it go in one ear and out the next, but listen properly. You see, Jesus has come to draw a line between those on the inside and those on the outside. God's kingdom divides. He's weeding out the people with the calloused hearts from the humble listeners. And that's surprising, isn't it? Doesn't it seem very inclusive of Jesus, does it? But here's the thing. It's not like Jesus doesn't want people to get into his kingdom, but like Isaiah the prophet in the Old Testament, Jesus sees his ministry in the same way. There's going to be people who are going to listen and respond in the right way, who are going to follow Jesus. But there's also going to be people who are always seeing, but never really catching on. There's going to be people who are always hearing, but it just goes in one ear and out the next. And it's because of their hard hearts. You see, Jesus has come to teach people, to give them the secret of the kingdom of God, which is all about himself. He's the secret. He's God who's come in flesh to rescue people from their sins. He's the one who's come preaching the good news of repentance. But some people are just not going to hear properly. Some people just don't want to listen. Some people have hard hearts. And that is a sign of God's judgment on them. But for people who are listening properly, who want to hear what Jesus is saying, well, it's not judgment, but salvation. It's not darkness, but light. And that's what we see here. The 12 apostles with the others, they hang back with Jesus, don't they? They want to listen. They want to know what this parable is about. They're hungry listeners. And so Jesus explains it to them. Verses 14 to 20. The farmer sows the word, that's the seed. And Jesus is the farmer who's been preaching the word. He's come preaching about the kingdom and how to get in, which is through repentance and believing the good news that Jesus has come to rescue people, that Jesus has come to bring people into his kingdom. But what we've seen so far is this. God's own people have rejected Jesus. They're all about being religious, self-righteous and legalistic, arguing about Sabbath days and fasting. And so we've already had a taste of what happens when the farmer goes out to sow the seed. His own family think he's mad. His own people think he's bad, of the devil. And so what are the responses going to be like? Well, Jesus tells us about the first soil. And you probably know what it's like. You share the good news of Jesus with someone, but it just leaves them stone cold. Satan comes and takes away the word that's sown in them. The Anglican bishop, J.C. Ryle, says this about the first soil. These are they who hear sermons but pay no attention to them. It seems to them a mere matter of words and names and unintelligible talk. It produces no more effect on them than water on a stone. And at the end, they go away knowing no more than when they came in. Sunday after Sunday, they allow the devil to catch away the good seed that's sown on the surface of their hearts. Week after week, they live on without faith or fear or knowledge or grace, feeling nothing, caring nothing, taking no more interest in religion than if Christ had never died on the cross at all. And in this state, they often die and are buried and are lost forever in hell. They're very confronting words, aren't they? Now, the second source seems a bit more promising. There's excitement, there's joy, there's emotion when they hear the good news of Jesus. But that's about it. It's all surface stuff. Nothing really sinks in deep. They're not really grounded in Jesus. And so when the sun comes out, when the going gets tough and trouble comes, they abandon ship. They're out of here in a heartbeat. Again, I like what J.C. Ryle says. These are they on whom preaching produces temporary impressions, but no deep, lasting and abiding effect. There's no stability about their religion. There is no real work of the Holy Spirit in their hearts. Their religion has no more life in it than the cut flower. It has no root, and soon it withers away. With all their feelings, affections, joys, hopes, and desires, they are actually on the high road to destruction. He captures it well, doesn't he? A cut flower, here 1 second, gone the next. Now, what about the third soil? Well, the soil seems to be going well. The only problem is this. It's growing among the thorn bushes, which can't be good for its growth. And so even though it's growing with all these other things that's happening in life, all these other things that are competing with God's word, the studies that are never ending, the career path that's never satisfying, the mortgage repayments that are never ending, which we can't really afford, but of course we needed the bigger house, the pleasure of this world that's so seductive, the middle class lifestyle dream that takes over everything. Or it's the deceitfulness of wealth, the lure of money and the need to get ahead in life, whatever it takes. And here's the very scary thing about what Jesus is saying. The lure of wealth is deceitful. And so as we reflect on this right now in church, we can be telling ourselves, we're not deceived. That's not us. But really, it is. That's the third soil. And again, here's how J.C. Ryle puts it. With everything apparently that is promising and favorable in their spiritual state, they stand still. They never come up to the full standard of New Testament Christianity. They bring no fruit to perfection. To go so far and yet go no further, to see so much and yet not see all, to approve so much and yet not give Christ the heart, this is indeed most deplorable. And there is but one verdict that can be given about such people. Without a decided change, they will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And finally, there's some good news. There's the good soil, those who are really listening. They hear the word and they accept it and they're changed by it. So they bear fruit, growing in maturity, sowing the seed in others, which continues to go on and on, bringing in a massive harvest. And so that's the first riddle, unlocked, the parable of the soils. But you see, not only do we see that the kingdom divides people, insiders and outsiders in the first parable. In the next parable, we see that the kingdom comes in an unexpected way. You see, Jesus doesn't bring the kingdom of God through might and fight by taking over the Romans. No, Jesus extends his rule. That's what the kingdom of God is about. How? By preaching the good news of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. You see, Jesus has come bringing light to the world like a lamp. He hasn't been hiding away in the desert in a cave. He's come openly telling people how to get into his kingdom. That's what he says there in verse 21. He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand?" It makes sense, doesn't it? You don't put a lamp under a bowl under your bed, you put it on its stand. Jesus has come openly bringing the good news of the kingdom. But of course, there's still something hidden about him, isn't there? And so verse 22, "For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open." You see, we still don't have the full picture of who Jesus is or what he's come to do. I remember how he's been silencing all these demons, keeping his identity under wraps. Some things are hidden at the moment that are going to be revealed later. But now's the time to repent. And what's hidden that's going to be revealed later in Mark's gospel is this. Jesus doesn't just bring the kingdom of God just by preaching. No, Jesus has to die on the cross for the sins of the world. I mean, that's just unexpected, isn't it? Just think about that for a moment. Which king dies to start a kingdom? Most kings fight and they conquer. In fact, the famous French emperor Napoleon said this, "I know man, and I tell you that Jesus Christ is no mere man. Between him and every person in the world, there's no possible term of comparison. Alexander, Caesar, Charlemagne, and I have founded empires. But on what did we rest the creations of our genius? Upon force? Jesus Christ founded his empire upon love, and at this hour millions of men would die for him." You see, you want to know what love is? Here's King Jesus dying on the cross for the sins of the world. Now that might seem a bit strange, but not if we understand the message of the Bible. You see, if the Bible says that humanity once lived in God's kingdom, that's what the Bible says, with God's people in God's place under God's rule, where there was perfect harmony and friendship. But instead of living in honor of God, we mess things up. Instead of letting God be God, to make up a word, we de-godded God, so to speak. We dethrone the rightful king and we make ourselves king. And so we've dishonored him. We've brought shame on him. But you know what? Instead of kicking us out of his kingdom forever and giving us a death warrant, well, the Son of God, Jesus, he comes to earth, he leaves his heavenly kingdom, and he becomes one of us. And even though he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, well, he gets the death warrant in our place. He dies on the cross bearing our shame and guilt. Why? So that he can bring us back into God's kingdom. To give us a chance to turn back to God, to repent and believe the good news. We don't have to do anything. It's a free gift from God. We just need to trust in Jesus' death and resurrection. That's why Jesus says that same line again in verse 23. And he also gives us a warning. "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." You see what Jesus is saying? We haven't got the full picture of who he is yet. Some things are hidden at the moment, and we're not going to see the full picture of Jesus until he dies and he rises from the dead. And even more than that, we're not going to see the full reality of Jesus' kingdom until he comes back as the king and judge over everything. But in the meantime, Jesus' point is this. Don't wait around. You've heard the message already. He's come like a lamp shining brightly. It's time to repent, to ask for forgiveness of sins and turn back to God. So be careful how you listen, because that's the return you're going to get. If you listen in big truckloads, you're going to get big truckloads. If you listen in tiny teaspoons, you're going to get tiny teaspoons. You see, the impact of God's word on you all depends on how you're listening. So listen carefully, because Your place in God's kingdom depends on it. You see, Jesus' kingdom, it divides, it draws a line between insiders and outsiders. It comes unexpectedly. Jesus has to come and die on the cross. And it's also unstoppable. And that's what we see in these last two parables. With the growing seed, what's the point Jesus is making? Well, it's through the seed that's scattered, the word, the good news of Jesus that's preached, that's how God's kingdom grows. It's a simple message. Turn your life around, turn to Jesus as king, and that's the seed that grows the kingdom. I mean, isn't that so encouraging for us? We scatter seeds, we keep on doing it. Of course, there's going to be rejection, but there's also going to be fruit. That's how God's growing his kingdom. And it's guaranteed to happen because God's doing the work. He's working powerfully. And there's going to be a time when all things are wrapped up in Jesus, who's going to come and bring the harvest. And so be prepared for the harvest, the kingdom that's coming. With the mustard seed, what's the point Jesus is making here? Well, a long time ago, when some of the leaders in our church started a youth group, this is the church I grew up in, there's only a couple of us teenagers, and they picked a name for the youth group. They called it the Mustard Seed Youth Group. And it was the perfect name. Only a couple of us teenagers, but we knew how God could work. And that's the point Jesus is making here. Jesus and the 12 apostles, they look pretty ordinary at the moment, don't they? But don't be deceived. This tiny seed of Jesus' kingdom is going to grow up into a giant tree. So when we look around in Melbourne, when we look at how things are going in Australia, God's kingdom might look weak and unimpressive. But don't be deceived. It's going to surpass everything you've seen before. Bigger and mightier than any other kingdom. And so can you see what's here in this passage today? Jesus comes to bring God's kingdom, which divides people. There's insiders and outsiders. It comes unexpectedly. And it's unstoppable. But the big question is this. Are you listening? Are you really listening? Or is it going in one ear and out the next, leaving you stone cold? Friends, I reckon these parables are both confronting and comforting. For some of us today, they're confronting. Because I suspect that for some of us here, we're in danger of missing out on God's kingdom. And so we've really got to ask ourselves some hard questions today. It's God's word. There's no way around it. And so let me ask, are we so caught up in this world, the worries and the concerns of this world, that we're in danger? Are we so caught up in the here and now with work and family and friends and sport and relaxing that the only attention we give to God's kingdom is this hour on Sunday? Or once a month when we're on the roster. Now, I know that life's hard, life gets busy with studies, with work and family. But maybe we really need to do some hard thinking and praying. Maybe this is the time to get our priorities sorted. But of course, the question is, are you really listening? Now, for some of us here, are we in danger of missing out on God's kingdom because of the deceitfulness of wealth? Now, here's a good test. Where's all our energy and time and focus going towards? Is it all about chasing wealth, getting that next property, grinding away at work for that next promotion, planning the retirement? We've got to be very careful, don't we? Jesus says other things that we're chasing choke the word. We've got to be careful about wealth. Jesus says you can't serve two masters. So don't think you're the exception. Don't think you're going to make it into God's kingdom if that's what life's all about. Remember, Jesus says it's the deceitfulness of wealth that chokes the word. But again, the question is, are you really listening? It makes you think, doesn't it? What kind of attitude we have to God's word. When we read our Bibles, when we go to Bible study, or when we come to church, do we rock up to church humble and hungry to listen, ready to listen with big ears? Or are we just dozing off, thinking about what's on for lunch or dinner, thinking about how we can enjoy the rest of the weekend, or getting distracted by our phones or something else? Or do we come with the attitude, well, I've heard all this stuff a million times before, just brush it off? Friends, Jesus says, be careful how you listen. Because the way we listen to God's word, whether it's going in or not, whether it's really sinking into our lives or not, it's going to be dished back to us. For some of us today, these parables are very confronting. And for others, these parables are very comforting. Because we can see how God's been working through his word, changing us, growing us to become more like Jesus, growing us in the fruits of the Spirit, growing in love for him and his people, growing in service to him and his kingdom. J.C. Ryle puts it like this. These are they who really receive Christ's truth into the bottom of their hearts, believe it implicitly and obey it thoroughly. In these, the fruits of that truth will be seen, uniform, plain, and unmistakable results in heart and life. Sin will be truly hated, mourned over, resisted, and renounced. Christ will be truly loved, trusted in, followed, loved, and obeyed. Holiness will show itself in all their life in humility, in spiritual mindedness, patience, meekness, and charity. There'll be something that can be seen. The true work of the Holy Spirit cannot be hidden. Now, friends, that's so comforting, isn't it? When you reflect back on your own life and you can see the way God's been working in you, and even more, seeing the way God's grown the seeds you've sown in others. Last year, we had 11 people profess their faith here at Reservoir Presbyterian and join the church. I mean, isn't that an amazing testament to the work of God in Reservoir? God is growing his kingdom right in front of us. Are you missing out on this? Are you missing out on seeing the joys of what God's doing? Because you're too busy being caught up in this world, too distracted by everything else going on. And God's kingdom stuff just takes up too much time and effort. If you're a student, are you so busy, caught up in your studies, getting the best marks that you're not seeing what God's doing right in front of you? The fields of harvest right in front of you at the Christian Union or at Focus. Friends, Jesus' kingdom is growing and it's unstoppable, and he's going to come back to bring the harvest in. He's going to come back with a mighty kingdom with people from every tribe, tongue and nation. The question is, are you prepared? Are you really listening? It's very easy in life when people are speaking to us to hear the words but never really listen. Friends, let's make sure that doesn't happen when it comes to God's word. Let's make sure we don't miss out on God's kingdom. Because you know what? There's only one fruitful soil. Jesus says time and time again, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us. Father, please give us ears to hear your word. Help us to respond rightly. We thank you that by your Spirit you can change us to become more like Christ, growing in faith, love, and hope. Father, help us to live for your kingdom, which is coming, which is unstoppable. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.